The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races!
Some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Oh man, football was awesome today. Loved every minute of it. And I can tell Dave and Heath loved it too. We are in a great mood. How great was today, guys? I'm sorry. I know this might sound cheesy, but we needed this. I mean, it's been a tough year for everyone. And today just felt so normal and so awesome to watch football all day.
You know, it didn't feel normal watching football with no one in the stands and hearing the crowd roar, the crowd boo the refs or anything like that. But it was still, there was something great about it, Adam. You're right. It was great to watch football again and have football in our lives. There was a point during the offseason where we weren't sure it was going to happen. And the NFL and its players and coaches and trainers and everybody in the front office did what they needed to do to stay safe and not have the virus spread anywhere. And it's been great. I hope it keeps up in the next week.
Don't
because
even bring
now
that
half
up.
The league has traveled.
Come on.
They're going to have to travel back.
Don't be negative.
They just got done playing.
I think you're, what do the kids say? You're harshing his buzz?
Yes.
Kids say
big
that?
Big time. Some do. I bet.
My
they
kids
did.
Don't say that.
They did. Yeah. No, it was great. Heath, Gardner Minshew might be good.
What do you mean might be good? Did you watch that
He's
man?
He's good.
Did you see him?
He's awesome.
Did you see his
fantastic.
Hair?
Fantastic.
Oh, that was great. His hair was great. Joe Burrow had a just hilarious interception. Raheem Mostert had the fastest play. I don't know. He ran faster in his touchdown catch than any running back ran on any play last year.
Hilarious things that happened today, like from a what we thought perspective versus what actually happened. I thought maybe the most hilarious thing was Raheem Mostert having like 100 yards receiving and being the least efficient 49ers running back on the ground.
How about
that was just fantastic.
How about Raheem Mostert doing better as a pass catcher than Austin Eckler? Yeah. Not that I'm laughing at it. I've got Austin Eckler on a couple of my teams. I'm pretty pissed off.
Well, he had a lot of carries, so that's the good thing. Mostert led
Hooray.
The 49ers
he didn't have a lot of touchdowns.
Receiving. Yeah, four catches, 95 yards, and a touchdown. All right, what game did you think? What NFL game was most interesting from a fantasy perspective, Heath?
I'm going to go with one that kind of had some good and some bad, but Seattle and Atlanta, because this is one we were very excited about in terms of high point total. I thought we might get a lot of Russell Wilson pass attempts because they'd have to pass, but they had a pretty good sized lead for most of this game, and Seattle still let Russ cook 35 pass attempts in a game where they were ahead for most of the game, and he was absolutely awesome. So that was very encouraging. It was, again, another one of those situations, kind of like the Mostert one, where it was a little bit weird with the running back usage. Carlos Hyde carried the ball a higher percentage of the time than I would like, and Chris Carson caught two touchdown passes, which was super weird.
What percentage of would you like Carlos Hyde to have carries?
5%.
Yeah, I'll take zero. 0%.
Somebody else has to carry the ball occasionally, but just like
yeah, that can be Russell Wilson, who led the Seahawks in rushing today.
Well, he scored in garbage time, Carlos Hyde, but he did actually have one more carry than Chris Carson, so it was weird. Yeah, they didn't run the ball a lot. Dave, which game, NFL game, was most interesting to you from a fantasy perspective?
Oh, crap, I have to pick an NFL game? I didn't know it had to be that. No, just kidding. How about the Raiders and the Panthers and two of the league's best young running backs combining for 5 touchdowns on the ground? It was amazing. Henry Ruggs had a couple of big plays early on. He got hurt, but then came back in. He was fine. Robbie Anderson playing really, really well. DJ Moore, not so much. I enjoyed this game. I love that it was back and forth. I'm kind of surprised that the Panthers scored 30 points and Teddy Bridgewater only threw one touchdown, but I'm sure the next time they get 30 points, Bridgewater will have 2 touchdowns and maybe things will be better then.
I'm going to say Arizona, San Francisco, because Kyler Murray didn't really have a great day throwing the football, but he ran so much and he made some plays with his legs that tell you why people were so excited to draft him as that breakout star quarterback. And geez, DeAndre Hopkins in week one, his target share was pretty good.
How about that?
It was pretty
all
good.
All the targets. All of them.
Yeah.
I thought I was under the impression that the Cardinals were going to spread targets around evenly to everybody.
That I don't think anyone ever said that, jerk.
Well, look, but I always
from
say,
the other perspective, this sucks for Christian Kirk.
Oh, not a good day
for
him.
Keeps up, of course. It's going to be bad for everybody.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was interesting, and Garoppolo managed to score 22 fantasy points and 6 points per passing touchdown leagues, and really played horribly down the stretch. Just missed a lot of opportunities there. All right, we're going to talk about all the rookie running backs. We're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers, who is currently tied with Russell Wilson as the number one quarterback in fantasy for week one. Everything that's important, including the big news. Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor with feature roles today. Taylor with 9 carries and 6 catches for 67 yards. 5 of his carries came on one drive early in the second half. Nyheim Hines had 7 carries for 28 yards and a touchdown. He had 8 catches for 45 yards and a touchdown. They were at Jacksonville, and Marlon Mack was off to a great start, and he had 3 catches. And then is it official, or are we waiting to see? They're fearing that he tore his Achilles.
I don't believe there's anything official yet.
Okay.
But if that's the fear and it's being reported as such, it's probably the case. And really stinks for those of us who had Marlon Mack.
So Jonathan Taylor is rostered in almost every league. Nyheim Hines is not.
Doesn't stink for people who have them.
Nyheim Hines is rostered in 39% of leagues. He was only started in 1% of leagues, understandably. So Dave, your thoughts. First of all, is Nyheim Hines a must add? And secondly, is Jonathan Taylor the starting running back in the bulk and the workhorse back for the Colts now?
I think he's going to end up being that guy for Indianapolis for sure. When? I know they like Nyheim Hines, but
when?
What do you mean when?
Like week 2, week 3,
yeah, week 2. Okay. I mean, listen, it's going to be Hines in passing situations in the 2-minute drill, and that's what we saw in the game against Jacksonville. But Jonathan Taylor is going to get the rest, and the fact that he caught 6 passes at one point, he led the team in receiving yards, and it's all a byproduct of Phillip Rivers continuing to check it down. And Rivers looked terrible. He did not have a good game. I don't know how often he will have a very good game. I know he threw for 363 yards. He also attempted 46 passes. So I don't know. It's not, he didn't play great. Taylor had some really nice moments. And if we had known that Marlon Mack was going to get hurt week one, I think we would have drafted Jonathan Taylor significantly higher than the ADP of round 5 suggests.
Yeah. So it's easy to say now, okay, like he went behind Melvin Gordon. We haven't even seen Melvin Gordon play, but I think everybody would probably
have been a second round pick.
From
week 2 on, Marlon Mack vanishes. Where do you draft Jonathan Taylor? And Heath, if I'm wrong, say so. I think he would have been a round 2 choice. I think people would have taken him like right around that same range as Aaron Jones, George Kittle. Maybe even higher, maybe even a little higher.
I think I said in season, I think Adam asked us this question, and I think I said second round if you told me Marlon Mack wasn't going to be there. So yeah, it's I was surprised that like in the first quarter and early in this game before Mack went down that Nyheim Hines scored a rushing touchdown in the red zone.
Nyheim Hines
got stuffed at the goal line on a short yardage carry before Jonathan Taylor, I think, ever came into the game. So that was weird. I am more interested in Nyheim Hines right now than I would have been if you had told me it's Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines. Like more involved than I expected.
Yeah.
But don't you think part of that is just a byproduct of they didn't want to like force the rookie to get on the field? Like they wanted to take his time.
I don't like, and Jonathan Taylor got 6. So it's not like they just weren't throwing to Jonathan Taylor. They threw 18 passes to their running backs.
Right. That's going to be how they operate. That's just how Phillip Rivers is. And
so
everybody
I think
who
Hines
sees Eckler's line.
Much more valuable than I thought.
Yeah, but I wonder if he's not quite as valuable in non-PPR. And people could still pick him up in non-PPR, but I think it's still the leagues where catches count, where his value is going to be the highest.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, statement of the year, but like, I don't, what I'm saying is if I'm in a non-PPR league and Hines is on the waiver wire, he may not be nearly the priority that he would be in other formats.
Sure. But all right. So Jonathan Taylor right now, would you take him ahead of Nick Chubb? Nick Chubb.
No.
I think I would. Wow. I know it sounds nutso changeo crazo.
No, it doesn't. Because Chubb is obviously in his timeshare.
Like, as bad as Chubb was today, he was facing the Ravens, and Jonathan Taylor averaged 2.4 yards per carry against Jacksonville.
I was going to bring that up. And actually, Chubb had a good game running. He was 10 carries for 60 yards against the Ravens. But there's that Kareem Hunt guy who had 13 carries and three catches to Chubb's one, or four catches to Chubb's one.
I guess my other question, and maybe no one's opinion on this has changed at all, are we as convinced that the Colts are a good team as we were before this game?
No.
Because that affects Jonathan Taylor's value.
It does and it doesn't. Like, is
part of the appeal was they're going to play all these teams and they play such good defense, they'll have leads and they'll run the ball 35 times a game.
Sure. But at the flip side, we never really thought about Jonathan Taylor contributing in the passing game. And we've got one game's worth of evidence, and I bet it doesn't change. We know Phillip Rivers' track record, and we know that he loves those running backs and tight ends. You're going to keep seeing that. So even if the Colts end up being in a bunch of games that are back and forth, or they're down by a score with 2 minutes to play, you're going to see them get involved. Both of them are going to catch a lot of passes.
All right, final question on this. Nyheim Hines or Tariq Cohen rest of season?
Ooh. I'm tempted to say Hines.
I think I might say Hines.
Yeah. Okay. Well, see, I know it doesn't sound great. And
I think I'd say Hines.
If both of them were on the waiver wire, who are you going to add first, Heath?
Well, it's
Hines? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think it's Hines.
Okay. I'm guessing Jordan Wilkins was inactive today. But he might factor in a little bit as well.
Yeah, probably.
Not to say you should pick him up, but you know, just getting some touches there. All right, much more to come on the Colts. Michael Thomas limped off the field, and Chris Godwin got hurt late in that game. That was the last game to end, and those injuries were late. So we'll have to see what the situation is there. Two of the best wide receivers in fantasy, although Michael Thomas was a mega dud today. Devontae Parker left with a hamstring injury. Preston Williams is rostered in 80% of leagues. They have Buffalo next week. Is there any other player other than Williams that you think is a waiver wire ad if Parker's out?
You mean on the Dolphins?
Yeah.
Miles Gaskin.
Okay.
I'm not interested.
Maybe Mike Gesicki if he's available. All right.
Yeah, not really against Buffalo. Would Chris Herndon turn in a negative 1.75 today?
He had a couple of catches late in garbage time.
He may have been their second leading receiver behind Crowder, but it was low. And Le'Veon Bell left with an injury. I don't know. I don't think there's a scenario where I'm picking up Frank Gore.
No.
All right. Like,
what? He averaged 4 yards per carry today, Adam.
Well, somebody's got to pick him up. There are some leagues I can think of, like Scott Fishbowl. He's not available, but if he were,
Josh Adams is going to get picked up in the Scott Fishbowl.
Probably. Yeah. If you need warm bodies. Okay. They've got San Francisco next week. And Justin Jackson left with a quad injury, and it was a good day for Joshua Kelly, scored a touchdown and looked pretty good. What did he have? He had 12 carries for 60 yards and a touchdown at the Bengals.
Yep, he had that number two running back role.
I have a stunning confession I'd like to tell you guys. I told almost nobody this. I was so ashamed, but I feel like the listeners are my family. Some of the listeners hate me, but some family members hate family members. That's fine. But I think we're all family here, so I'll tell you all the truth. Last year, week one, I went 0-10. I was so embarrassed. Can you believe that? I went 0-10.
I was not stunned at all.
Too embarrassed.
I'm really mad at you for not telling me about it then. That would have made my evening better.
Well, I tell you this because I only checked one score today, and I'm going to win. I had to check my score. I have McCaffrey, Jacobs, and Andrews, maybe? I don't know. I have McCaffrey and Jacobs in one league, and I was like, okay, I have to check this score. I'm going to win that league.
Don't understand you and Schrager and your, I just don't check my scores. Like, why? What do you mean?
Check my scores, but not the leagues that are free.
It just stresses me out.
Or the $10 leagues.
I'm too stressed. I can't deal with it. But things are already better is what I'm saying. 2020.
You've won a week already.
Yeah, yeah.
In one of your 10 leagues.
And I went 0-10 in week one. I ended up playing in the finals in three of those leagues. So don't freak out too much after week one. Buy or sell time. But by the way, Dave, not happy that you weren't stunned that I went 0-10.
Sorry, your reputation precedes itself.
Okay. Buy or sell, the Jaguars are going 1-15.
That's almost as embarrassing as your 0-10 is that you spent the last week talking about Jacksonville going 0-16.
Yeah, yeah. I really thought there was a chance.
You meant to say Jets, the Jets.
Maybe.
Jets might go 0-16.
Like, is there any chance at all Jacksonville is getting the number one pick now? Because there's no way they're worse than the Jets.
They might even win three games. Jaguars.
Wait till the Giants play before you start trashing the Jets, by the way.
How many wins total for New York football teams not named Buffalo?
Six. For the two.
I bet they'll combine.
Who wins more, New York football teams or Florida football teams?
Well, you're including Buffalo in there?
Oh, that's a fun one. I'm going to say, Florida, right?
Yeah.
Tampa Bay is going to be awesome.
Buffalo looked a lot better than Tampa.
They played the Jets.
Yeah, they did play the Jets. All right, let's go back to buy or sell. Aaron Rodgers is on a mission and will be a fantasy MVP. Aaron Rodgers.
He could be. He could be. They've got a lot of really nice defenses in their future. I don't know if I'm going to say he's going to be the fantasy MVP, but we may have made a mistake ranking him where we ranked him. That's something that I'm not happy with.
Do you agree with that, Heath?
I would sell, but this was a very good performance.
Yeah, 38 fantasy points.
Would you buy that he's a top 10 quarterback the rest of the way?
I had him ranked 10th in the preseason, so yeah.
Okay.
Just so you know, they had the ball for over... Oh, this is the coolest stat of the day, by the way. Time of possession, Green Bay, 41 minutes and 16 seconds. Minnesota, 18 minutes and 44 seconds. Buffalo, time of possession... 41 minutes and 16 seconds. Jets, 18 minutes and 44 seconds. The same exact time of possession. And you almost never, I mean, it is rare to see 41 minutes of possession out of 60 minutes. So for two teams to do that, exactly the same number, that was crazy. But yeah, incredible game for Aaron Rodgers. Off to a great start. Gets Detroit next week. Buy or sell. Tom Brady and Drew Brees are old and bad.
Sell. I thought, like, Brady, I thought it looked just discombobulated and like they'd never played a game together. And Gronk, I think, probably is old and bad. He looked like a complete not football player. And Mike Evans was running with one leg. So I'm giving Brady a pass. Rivers was the one that I noticed, like he was throwing balls to the sidelines and it was like one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three, like there was no zip at all. I thought Breeze looked like he'd lost a little something too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
There were some passes where Brady looked like he'd lost something as well.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I did think it's a fair point that they just did not look in sync. Breeze, there were a couple moments where the Bucks and Brady was just like, what's going on? And you know, that first game together, no preseason, all that. It wasn't good. 160 yards for Drew Brees. I told you, he needs those fans. He needs those fans in New Orleans.
You're right. Uh-huh. Good job, Adam.
Thank you. All right, buy or sell now continues with the... Well, okay, would you bump Aaron Rodgers over those two guys? Yes, this season. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Now we get to the rookie running backs. Buy or sell, Antonio Gibson is a must start going forward.
No.
Not yet. We're not there yet.
You can say sell. You don't have to buy it. I wasn't...
Right, but I thought there was generally something that would lead you to believe that something is true.
You know what? Because I have a lot of this guy is a must start going forward, so we'll just see the ones you buy and the ones you sell. Antonio Gibson to sell.
Fair.
I would say that he's obviously better than Peyton Barber, and hopefully he's on the right track to being a must start, but not yet. Is that fair?
Right.
Okay.
Barber got a lot more work, right?
Yes. Peyton Barber had 19 carries for 24 yards. He is Kalen Ballage.
And scored a touchdown?
Two touchdowns, yes.
Two touchdowns. That's a good day.
J.K. Dobbins is close to overtaking Mark Ingram. Buy or sell?
I'll buy it.
I will sell it. But he is closer to being in a 50-50 situation with Mark Ingram than I thought.
All right. James Robinson is a must-start going forward. Buy or sell?
Sell.
I still think it's a little matchup dependent.
Yeah.
He got every running back carry.
Yeah, that's good.
And Chris Thompson wasn't really a factor in the passing game, but neither was Robinson, only one catch. But 16 carries, 62 yards, good day for him.
He's at Tennessee next week, Miami the week after that, at Cincinnati after that, at Houston after that, Detroit after that, bye after that.
So you can't start him against bye.
Well, I mean, you could. You're just going to get 0 points.
Yeah. All right. Well, would you rather have James Robinson or Antonio Gibson?
Gibson.
You have to answer.
I'm not so sure. I you guys tell me. What did you see something from Gibson other than like today?
A little bit. A little bit. I mean,
that was not. I did not. I watched that game a lot when the Eagles had the ball, but not a lot when Washington had the ball.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think he's their. I think that it's hard to say. You know,
he had
it's really
one
hard,
run
it's
for
hard
20
to say,
yards, and he averaged like 2 yards a carry. Otherwise,
yeah.
No, he needed a little bit. He got like two passes for 8 yards.
Right. They didn't throw to him that much.
Well, and I think it's more about...
I don't see Peyton Barber continuing to turtle his way.
It's more about what we saw from Peyton Barber. He's awful, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. He's still their solution at the goal
I think
line.
They probably knew that going in, though, didn't they?
Peyton Barber's like,
they'd watched Peyton Barber play football before.
Yeah. All right. Buy or sell. Zach Moss is a must start going forward.
No. Sell.
No.
Okay, buy
he's
or
really lucky he got a touchdown because he got outplayed in a big time way by Devin Singletary.
I'm interested what the snap count was though, because I think he was in there at the goal line or inside the 10-yard line. I'm pretty sure more than Devin Singletary. He got two end zone targets. He caught one of them. So when you look at high value touches, I mean Singletary did have 5 catches. Moss had 3, but you're right. He only had 11 yards compared to Singletary's 30 on the same amount of carries.
Well, he had 27 yards on 12 touches.
Yeah. All right. So no. So then buy or sell, Zach Moss is close to, or Zach Moss is a better start than Devin Singletary.
Sell.
I think you have to sell it at this point.
Buy or sell, DeAndre Swift will be a must start in a few weeks.
Sell.
5 weeks.
Okay. Big drop for him. Dropped the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, that's ugly. Not good.
Yeah.
He had 3 carries.
Like, this is one of those situations, and I like DeAndre Swift, and I really liked the talent, but with Matt Patricia, as long as he's kept his job, I could see them force-feeding Adrian Peterson too many touches just for as long as Peterson stays upright.
But look, give AP credit. He had 93 yards on 14 carries.
He's their best runner right now.
He is. And yeah. As long as it's the same thing with Mac and Jonathan Taylor before the season. As long as the older running back has the role and he does well in it, you're not going to see the rookie get an opportunity. What we might see, though, is DeAndre Swift eventually eat into Kerryon Johnson's role. Mm-hmm. And then it's AP and Swift.
I didn't realize that Kerryon Johnson, Chris Towers said he might be on a snap count today. And I was unaware of that. I don't know if that was actually the case, but he is coming off the ACL injury. I didn't realize that they were playing it slow with him. Yeah. But he was very uninvolved, and Peterson had a good game. All right, last one. Buy or sell, Ronald Jones is a must-start going forward. He had 17 carries for 66 yards and 2 catches for 16 yards. Leonard Fournette, 5 carries, 5 yards, 1 catch, 14 yards.
He had 5 carries for 5 yards with a long run of 6 yards. Yikes.
Buy or sell, Ronald Jones is a must start going forward.
Sell.
I'm not sure I would buy it if Leonard Fournette wasn't there, but I definitely don't buy it with Fournette there. They got whooped in the trenches today. That New Orleans front seven just kicked their butts.
Look, these two defenses might be pretty good, especially the run defenses. Look at, dude, Alvin Kamara had 12 carries for 16 yards. Latavius Murray, 15 for 48. So these two run defenses are really good. And, these might be two good defenses, the Bucs and the Saints. And Troy Aikman said he wouldn't be surprised if they play in the NFC Championship game. And I don't think any of us would. Yeah. Make sure you're watching on YouTube, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. I gave myself a haircut today. This is what it looks like. Got to finish tomorrow. A little puffy on the sides. Didn't do a great job.
Looks like you completely missed the back.
I didn't do the back, actually. That I need my wife to help me out with that tomorrow. Yeah. So, but the front was all me, Dave. So 0-10. All right, winners and losers. Dave starts with winners. Russell Gage, who's rostered in 2% of leagues, and Nyheim Hines, we already talked about. Let's talk about Gage. Matt Ryan threw 54 passes, Dave. Three receivers, Gage, Ridley, and Jones, all had 12 targets, and Gage had 9 catches for 114 yards.
How about that for spreading the ball around? That's how it's done. And Gage did a nice job with it, catching short area targets from the slot from Matt Ryan. And listen, I don't know how good this defense is, Adam. You reference how good Atlanta made strides toward the end of last season. They came out hot this season. This season, one game, first quarter, they were getting pressure on Russell Wilson, but then they struggled. And I could see Atlanta being forced to throw quite a bit moving forward. And Julio and Ridley are going to do their thing. Russell Gage could be a real nice bench option and a potential solution in PPR if you're kind of stuck. One of the receivers that we talked about who might end up being the 10-point PPR floor that you can find off the waiver wire. I was impressed.
Yeah. And do you think, though, Dave, maybe that he succeeded today because Jamal Adams, I don't know how much Jamal Adams covered Hayden Hurst. But Hurst had a bad game, and Gage maybe took advantage of that.
It's possible, but Gage had 12 targets. Hurst had 5.
Right.
Like if Hurst was going to be the you know, plug him right into Austin Hooper, and he's going to be that dude for Atlanta, I would imagine more than 5 targets, and I would imagine fewer targets for Gage.
All right, Heath's winners, Robbie Anderson, who had a 75-yard touchdown catch, and Jamison Crowder, who had a 69-yard touchdown catch.
Nice.
Love those Jets and those former Jets. All right, Robbie Anderson's got the Bucs next week. Crowder's got the 49ers. These guys are winners for you, and Anderson's only rostered in 45% of leagues.
Yeah, I thought the big thing with Carolina, and it was another one of those teams where the target distribution did not go as we'd planned. DJ Moore got a decent share of the targets, only slightly less than what I'd projected for him. He didn't do very much with him in this game. But Robbie Anderson and Curtis Samuel were just right there with him. Like this was the what I had said Cliff Kingsbury was going to do in Arizona, where you've got three receivers getting a ton of targets. It was a problem for Christian McCaffrey, frankly. He only had 4 targets in the game. He was lucky he got a couple rushing touchdowns. But if Robbie Anderson's going to be this involved in the passing game, then we were way, way too low on him because he is a good wide receiver. He's a very good deep threat, the best deep threat on this team. If he's going to see 7, 8 targets a game, he's going to be awesome.
And how often do you think they're going to be in shootouts like this?
I don't think they're going to stop anyone. They just gave up like more than 30 points to the Raiders. Okay, so always.
Tampa Bay next week, Chargers after that, Cardinals after that. How interested would you be in starting Robbie Anderson in any of those games? Now, this is a different conversation than adding Robbie Anderson, but as far as starting him, how interested would you be?
Tampa Bay, I think that I might.
Mm-hmm. God, I don't know. Look, Tampa Bay, we have to acknowledge, correct me if I'm wrong here, they've got potentially a great secondary. All those young guys, Dean, Murphy Bunting, the guy who was shadowing Michael Thomas today. I mean, they could have
Davis?
Yes, Carlton Davis.
Carlton Davis.
They could have a great secondary, and not to mention they have a great pass rush as well. So it's possible that that's Tampa Bay is becoming a really bad matchup for wide receivers.
That is possible.
It is. And then they've got the Chargers, which I think
that's the game
matchup.
I would not want to start him. I wouldn't either. For sure,
Arizona,
yes.
Yeah. That's like the perfect one.
Okay.
Because you know the Cardinals are going to put up all kinds of points on the Panthers, and the Panthers are going to be able to succeed. So anytime there's a matchup where they're taking on a team like Arizona or Vegas, Robbie Anderson's absolutely in play.
All right, let's go to the losers. Your losers are Carson Wentz. He was sacked 8 times. And Kerryon Johnson, who we talked about a little bit. We'll talk about him more. Carson Wentz, started out so good for him. And he got a little sloppy. What did you see from Wentz?
Well, it wasn't so much from him. It was just that, like, DeSean Jackson's not 100% and wasn't out there quite. I don't know what his snap count was, but it wasn't as high as I was hoping for.
No, he got roughed up and left the game for a little bit.
Right. And he's just, like, he's old, and that's what happens with DeSean Jackson. He gets roughed up, and he leaves the game for a little bit. And Jalen Reagor made a really nice play, but had one catch in the game. and their offensive line could not block anyone. And we don't really know for sure when Miles Sanders is going to be 100%. So this situation, like, it's possible they get the right tackle back next week and the offensive line's just okay. But from what I saw from that offensive line today, I don't think one player is going to make it good or even above average. They're hoping to be average at that offensive line.
But don't worry. Don't worry. Next week, they take on Aaron Donald and the Rams.
Kerryon Johnson, he's rostered in 87% of leagues. He had 7 carries, no catches. At Green Bay next week, Green Bay's probably a good matchup. I mean, we expected Dalvin Cook to have a good game, but they were not a good run defense last year. Is Kerryon Johnson droppable?
I would like to hold Kerryon Johnson for one more week. But if it looks like this again next week, I might be out.
All right. Naeem Hines is out there.
Now, right?
Naeem Hines is out there. Sorry. What would you do?
I don't want to.
You have to. You only have one player on your bench.
If I need a running back to start this week, I think I'd have to drop Johnson and pick up Hines in a full PPR league.
Yep.
All right. Dave's losers are Jordan Howard, who had 8 carries for 7 yards and a touchdown at New England, and Tariq Cohen, who only had 2 catches would go along with 7 carries at Detroit. Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, Dave.
Well, Myles Gaskin had more carries than Jordan Howard. Myles Gaskin and Matt Breida and Ryan Fitzpatrick had more yards than Jordan Howard. And I don't know how much of this was the Patriots' run defense. I don't think that they're necessarily some sort of awesome unit that should be mentioned in the same sentence as, say, Tampa Bay or New Orleans. So if Howard can't get it going in this matchup, I don't know when he can. And Myles Gaskin came out of nowhere. They're using 3 running backs. What a mess. Very frustrating. We're lucky that he scored the touchdown.
Would you call Breida a loser too? They didn't even throw him the ball once.
But they did to Gaskin.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's just, they just like Gaskin the most.
Twice to Patrick Laird.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like,
that's ridiculous. Matt
Breida had 5 touches in the game.
They're like the Detroit Lions of the South, but with worse running backs.
Okay. What did you think about Tariq Cohen?
There's something going on with the Bears where they're just not thinking about Cohen as the playmaker that we in the fantasy world tend to think of him. And they're hooked on Montgomery. They want to give Montgomery a lot of carries. This is a game where the Bears were trailing in the second half. Cohen might have played a lot. He had 2 targets and 2 catches. So they're going in different directions. I don't feel good about Cohen as a starter anytime soon, regardless of who they play. But I feel like the way Heath did about Kerryon. I don't want to cut him either unless I absolutely have to.
Look, Tariq Cohen has a history of having games like this. He's a little inconsistent in how he gets to his like 70 to 80 catches or whatever. I'll just look at his game log. He had, 2 catches today?
He had 7 carries for 41 yards.
Week one, this is kind of why I don't like Tariq Cohen. Week one last year, he had 8 catches. The next 3 games, 2, 2, 2. Then 6, then 9. Then 3, then 2. Like, it's not that consistent with him. So I wouldn't really say that I'm panicking here, but.
But you can't possibly start him with any confidence.
Well, I mean, I never do. Yes?
You missed one of the buy or sells.
Oh, what's that?
Buy or sell, Malcolm Brown's going to score a touchdown on every Rams drive this year.
Can you not? You know I'm DVRing. You know I'm DVRing. All right. News and notes. Henry Ruggs left.
The funny thing is like Heath could say anything, and you would just assume that he's telling the truth.
Of course he's telling the truth. Who makes that
buy or sell? Dak Prescott's going to throw 2 touchdowns on 1 drive. You know, like you're just going to have to, you're at his mercy here.
Oh, man. All right. So Henry Ruggs came back. Boston Scott left with an injury. Today, without playing, was probably a good day for Miles Sanders. Buffalo linebacker Matt Milano is week to week with a hamstring injury. David Njoku left with a hamstring injury. I do think it would be a little disingenuous for us to gloss over Boston Scott since
we all went crazy over him. Yeah.
So would you like to talk about the mega dud, Boston Scott?
I knew we were in trouble when Jason Huntley was getting carries and his jersey was getting like torn up when defenders were holding it and he's running to the sideline early on in the game. It stunk. There were a couple plays where he looked good. They just didn't give him the type of workload that we thought he would get.
We get a free pass whenever a player gets hurt, though, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, it's not like he got hurt in the first quarter.
Not our fault he got hurt.
All right. You know what? I'm down with that.
So that means everybody gets a pass on Michael Thomas because he limped off at the end of the game?
Nobody needs a pass on Michael Thomas. He's the best receiver in the NFL. He just had one bad game. It's fine.
Do you really believe he's the best receiver in the NFL?
Well, I mean, unless today, like, it might be that the Monstar stole all of his talent and he's just not good anymore, but he was the best receiver in the NFL last year. But do you
think he is? Because I think there's like four guys that probably have a case. He's definitely one of them.
But you think Odell Beckham's probably one of those guys.
I don't think I can say that anymore. But I used to think that. Yeah, absolutely.
At least Odell moved better today.
I hope so. All right, here's some cool stats. Josh Jacobs set a career high with four catches. Peyton Barber has now rushed for 1.7 yards per carry or less in three of his last four games dating back to last year. Joe Burrow gave the ball to the wrong team. Chris Carson tied his career high in catches for a game, and he had two touchdown catches. He entered with only three in his career. Raheem Mostert, I mentioned this, 22.7 miles per hour. That's how fast he ran during his touchdown catch. Faster than any running back on any play in 2019. That's Next Gen Stats. I heard that on Red Zone. Thank you for that. Buffalo and Green Bay, same time of possession. That was incredible. And Lamar Jackson, if you look at his schedule, weeks 16, which weeks 14, 15, 16, 17, just in case you play into week 17. Lamar Jackson gets the Browns, Jaguars, Giants, Bengals. Game over. You better hope whoever has Lamar Jackson does not make the playoffs. The Mega Duds. Then we'll get to the best at each position, and then we'll get to the games. The Mega Duds today. Tyrod Taylor, 8 fantasy points at Cincinnati. Rob Gronkowski, 3 targets, 2 catches, and O.J. Howard. Dave, remember I said on Twitch, I said O.J. Howard's going to be the guy that nobody drafted that, I don't know, wins leagues. DeSean Jackson was a mega dud. The Browns were mega duds. And that's pretty much all I got.
Jets? Well, I mean, I guess Crowder had
the Jets. I mean, Bell was. But in terms of players that had high hopes for, Tyrod Taylor, Gronkowski, DeSean Jackson, Nick Chubb, Odell Beckham, 3 catches on 10 targets.
10 targets, yeah.
Austin Hooper was awful. David Njoku had a much better game. He did also get hurt in Njoku. Dave, who stands out? Who worries you there with the mega duds?
Oh, I think you've got to look at Odell just as off the basis of getting 10 targets and realizing that's pretty good. You'd like Odell to keep getting 10 targets a game, but converting into 3 receptions, was that because of the Ravens? Was that because Baker struggled? I don't think it was a lot of Odell making mistakes. Not that I've watched every single target. I can get back to you on that if you want, but I'm going to say that having Mayfield as his quarterback could end up being more of a liability than we had certainly thought 2 years ago, much less a week ago.
You think Eli would come back?
Browns might be interested.
I'll stay with the Browns and say my biggest concern, and this is somebody like we were kind of concerned about before the season, but Austin Hooper, like at least Odell Beckham got 10 targets. They threw the ball 45 times or whatever, and Austin Hooper got 2 targets. David Njoku got more targets. Harrison Bryant got the same number of targets. Yuck.
Yeah.
How many drives did they have into the red zone? I'm going to look right now because that's part of the, oh my lordy, 1 red zone drive.
Look, they're not on the same level as Baltimore. They get Cincinnati next week. They get the football team the week after that. So hopefully they can turn things around a little bit, but yeah, if they don't, it's very concerning. And I guess I'd like to take a little inventory at some point about the teams with like new coaches or new quarterbacks and how it went for them today. Was it just
not great, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, obviously the Bucks, the Browns, Phillip Rivers,
Panthers. The Giants. I mean, it hasn't
happened
yet.
The Panthers offense. The Panthers offense wasn't that bad. Like they actually.
No, but they lost to the Raiders, so that counts as a terrible.
Oh, but they're
week.
But they're
Patriots
worse.
Had
they're
a
worse
new
than the
quarterback.
Raiders.
They did fine.
Yeah, but not their passing game.
No, not their passing game. But they used their quarterback the right way.
Yes, and
you,
that was
you knew
huge.
That they would to some degree. I underrated how much they would use him.
Look, that was the number one thing I wanted to see this week is how much is Cam Newton going to run. And he looked like Cam Newton, didn't he? All right, let's get to the best of the best. Top 5 at each position. Quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, tied with 38 fantasy points. This is 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. Lamar Jackson, 33. Josh Allen, 31. Jamie said he'd have his first 300-yard game, and he did. 312 passing yards. Mitchell Trubisky. What?
Yeah!
Mitchell Trubisky. 29 yes! fantasy points. He's QB5 going into Sunday Night Football.
Yes!
I thought he was going to get benched. He was that bad in the first half.
He was terrible until the fourth quarter, and then 1-0. All of a sudden things started to click. The touchdown throw to Anthony Miller was a dime.
Money Mitch.
Maybe this is the start. Maybe all he needed was to play terrible for 2 years plus.
In all seriousness, do you think there's a Mitchell Trubisky revival here?
How many more times does he play the Lions?
Once more.
He does get the Vikings secondary a couple times.
They get the Giants next week, I'm pretty sure, right?
Next week he's got the G-men.
Yeah.
Then Atlanta.
But let's just, what do you think? Is this a, let's not go through the
whole schedule. Not bad for the next three games.
What a trade that was.
I know.
I traded you Jamison Crowder for Mitchell Trubisky. That was an awesome trade.
For both of us or for you?
It worked
for both of us.
Yeah. I started Crowder. all right. Running backs, top five running backs. Josh Jacobs, Christian McCaffrey. This is non-PPR, by the way. Dalvin Cook, Raheem Mostert, and right now it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, number five.
Soon to be Malcolm Brown.
This is very chalky. This whole week was kind of chalky, no? Jacobs, sort McCaffrey, of. Cook, sort Mostert, of. Edwards-Helaire.
I mean, we just talked about Mitchell Trubisky as the number five quarterback, so probably not.
I guess, but look, I mean, Rodgers, Wilson, Jackson, Allen, Trubisky, Kyler Murray, Matt Ryan, Mahomes, Minshew, Cousins is up there. It's a pretty chalky week. All right, anything to say about those top five? Jacobs, McCaffrey, Cook, Mostert, Edwards-Helaire. How about Jacobs getting four catches?
It was nice.
Good. Very good.
Do you buy that?
For 64.
Can he get to 50?
You've got to be optimistic.
Okay. I don't know what that means. Does that mean if you think he's going to get to 50, you're being too optimistic, or
it means you have to be optimistic that he will get to 50. But you also have to remember that last year there were games where the Raiders completely forgot that Josh Jacobs had hands. And then there were other games where they remembered and he got 3, 4, 5 receptions. I don't know if he ever had 5. Let's say 2, 3, 4. Wait, I'm not sure if he ever had 4.
He never had 4.
4 catches a career high for
Yes, it's a career high. Yes.
How many points did Clyde Edwards-Helaire score in non-PPR?
18 or 19?
Okay, 19. I just wanted to make 19. Sure I ding the bell whenever Malcolm Brown passes him.
All right, wide receivers. Davante Adams is number one. Adam Thielen and Calvin Ridley, number two. Ridley ahead of Thielen in PPR. All three of those guys, Adams, Thielen, and Ridley, are the only two wide receivers entering Sunday night with 2 touchdown catches. Robbie Anderson, 3. Jamison Crowder, 4. But DeAndre Hopkins is actually 4th in PPR because he had 14 catches. But yeah, Adams, Thielen, Ridley, Anderson, Crowder. Anything there?
Like, once again, Julio Jones is absolutely awesome. Calvin Ridley scores 2 touchdowns and Julio can't get in the end zone. I don't understand it at all, but I'm very happy that I have a lot of Calvin Ridley.
Would you understand it if you saw teams double teaming Julio in the red zone?
I don't understand why teams would keep doing that when Calvin Ridley scores more touchdowns every
because
year.
Because they're just trying to, I don't know. So listen, maybe they just don't want to give away Julio in the red zone.
I just read about this. I just read an article about this on ESPN. Dirk Cutter was talking about this. And he said, if Julio Jones gets more touchdowns, which of course they say they want to do, it's not going to be in the red zone. He needs to score on more big plays, whether that's deep balls downfield or like bubble screens that he takes to the house. He's not going to score more touchdowns in the red zone because he gets so much attention in the red zone. So Ridley, I don't remember where Ridley is a big play guy. I don't remember his touchdowns today. One of them definitely wasn't.
So who does Dirk Cutter think is?
They
going
were both
to
in the red
in
zone.
Red zone.
They were both in the red zone. Who's I don't know.
Ridley? Probably Hurst and Gurley. Ridley and yeah, and Todd Gurley and maybe even Russell.
But I
want to
know what like what. Okay, I'll stop.
Top five tight ends non PPR. Mark Andrews 1, Goddard 2. Goddard scored more points than him. Is number one in PPR. David Njoku, T.J. Hockenson, and Travis Kelce. All right, this is a pretty interesting list. So Goddard, huge game, better than Ertz. Njoku, huge game, big game, better than Hooper. Did leave with an injury. Hockenson, 5 for 56 and a touchdown. Of course, no Galladay. What feels legit here?
I'm a little bit more worried about Zach Ertz than I was before. And oh, I was a little bit worried about before. But like Dallas Goedert's really, really good. And there's this whole underlying contract thing going on with Zach Ertz, which didn't get done. So I guess it's not going on anymore. I'm a little bit more worried about Ertz and a little more interested in Goddard.
Okay, what about Hockenson, Dave? Was this because Galladay was out or because we got a year two breakout?
I think the overall target volume was because Galladay wasn't there. But he's a red zone threat for Detroit too. They'd be dumb not to keep using him.
What a collapse. But that was so bad that they lost that game. And they should have won. Swift.
It's dagger time.
Yeah. All right, it's time to talk about every game with a Believe It or Not from Heath. We're going to take a commercial break and give Heath a little time to think about those Believe It or Nots. When we come back, Jacksonville and Indianapolis, Gardner Minshew. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jacksonville 27, Indianapolis 20. All right, believe it or not, Heath, what do you got?
Believe it or not, Gardner Minshew, James Robinson, and Laviska Shenault are all flexes at worst.
Dave, you can always go first here.
No, I know. I'm thinking about it.
Are you going to say no?
I believe it.
Shenault got four targets.
I believe it.
And he had two carries?
Two carries for 10 yards.
Two carries for 10 yards.
Yes. I would anticipate Shenault getting more involved as the season goes on. He was his first football game.
He had a nice route on his touchdown.
Very nice.
A little stutter step to freeze the defender, crossed his face, got open. Minshew hit him, waltzed into the end zone.
Robinson's only rostered in 69% of leagues, so that'll be closer to 85, 90, I think. And I say Shenault only got four targets, but he got more than DJ Chark, who only had three. Both of them caught touchdowns. Believe it or not, on this one, Paris Campbell's legit, man.
I think PPR. I
was skeptical that Phillip Rivers would help him that much, but since Phillip Rivers can't throw a ball more than 15 yards,
seriously,
I think Paris Campbell's, he's got more upside than I was giving him credit for.
I have to admit, I was disappointed in Jack Doyle not having a bigger game. Thought that he would get a little more work, but Campbell definitely had Rivers' eye. He threw to him on the interception late in the game. I think that Campbell's going to continue to see a lot of looks from Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty good wide receiver. Six catches on nine targets, 71 yards for Paris Campbell, only rostered in 20% of leagues. Next up, Las Vegas 34, Carolina 30. Heath.
Believe it or not, Christian McCaffrey is going to lose a lot of catches off last year.
I don't believe it yet. One game does not tell the whole season.
Yeah, I don't believe it either, but I do want to see if McCaffrey, how many games he had three or fewer catches last year. But you can keep talking about this game as I look.
I mean, there was a good portion of this game where he was like, I don't even think he had, like, he didn't have that many. And it might have just been the way things were going, but I would presume that every team's going to try to take Christian McCaffrey away in the passing game, at least until Robbie Anderson does this more regularly with Moore and Anderson and Samuel getting that many targets. I'm not saying that I don't think Christian McCaffrey is the number one running back anymore. I'm not saying that I think he's going to be bad in PPR, but I'm not so sure he's going to catch 80 passes.
Well, but I also don't think that it's going to be typical for him to have 23 carries in a game, and they're absolutely want to get the ball in his hands in as many unique ways as possible. So this is he's going to catch way more passes than this.
Yeah, three, he had three games last year with two or three catches, including weeks 2 and 3. McCaffrey, by the way, forget it. I think I more or less said everything I need to say there. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Teddy Bridgewater actually only threw 34 passes. It's not like nothing, but when you look at all the targets that all the other guys got, you would have thought, especially since they scored 30 points and gave up 34, you would have thought he had thrown at least 40, but he only threw 34 in this game. All right, New England 21, Miami 11. Well, is there anything else we need here? Let's see.
Henry Ruggs is going to be fun.
Yeah, I wish he hadn't got hurt.
Yep.
But he's okay. He came back.
But he did not record another statistic.
But he's not, like, out. Unless maybe he is banged up. But it's not like he has a injury that he's weak to. I don't know. Heath, you know what I'm saying. By the way, if you want to handcuff Josh Jacobs, it's probably Devontae Booker, right?
Yeah, but you would be sick to want Devontae Booker.
Well, super deep league.
Like, how would you feel starting him if Jacobs missed time? I don't think it would feel very good.
No. New England 21, Miami 11.
Cam Newton is a must-start quarterback again.
Believe it.
I guess I don't, because I'm hesitating. Because I'm waiting to see how he does against tougher defenses that will be able to contain him as a runner.
You're going to have to wait a while.
So actually, do you feel like Seattle, he's got Seattle next week. I don't feel like Seattle played poorly defensively. I didn't really watch the game.
I don't think Seattle's a bad defense. I don't think they're a good defense.
I feel like they did a pretty good job against the Falcons. The Falcons did most of their damage late. They recovered an onside kick. But
I thought it was a very Falcons performance. Like Matt Ryan, I think, had 330 yards in three quarters. Like he was just up and down the field, and then they got to the red zone, and well, we can't throw to Julio, so how are we going to score?
All right, so Cam.
Seattle only sacked him twice, Heath, and once was by Jamal Adams.
Do you, Heath, believe that Cam Newton is a must start?
I do.
All right. Would you rather?
Who do they
have
play next week?
Seattle. Would you rather have Cam Newton or Aaron Rodgers rest of season?
Cam Newton.
Rodgers.
Okay. Believe it or not, there's not going to be one good running back on either of these teams, Miami, New England.
I don't believe it. I still think the best running back for the Patriots is currently on their IR.
Okay.
Yeah, man. I kind of think it might just be Sony Michel again.
Not in love with James White right now. I don't know.
Well, he got hurt and hobbled off at one point.
Yeah, he came back.
So it doesn't count.
Well, I don't know that Cam Newton's going to throw the ball that much, so it's fewer targets for everyone. All right, Washington 27, Philadelphia 17. Washington had 8 sacks in this game. What's our believe it or not?
Believe it or not, this is the one I've kind of struggled with a little bit, but I'm going to say believe it or not, we're not starting Carson Wentz for a while.
Rams next week, then the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'll start him against Cincinnati.
I mean, this was Washington.
Yeah, but Washington, and we knew it, at least on paper, had a great defensive line. And Philly's offensive line is, there's three starters. Two of them are gone for the year. One of them didn't play in the game.
But
they're in week 10.
Only one of them
mode.
Is hoping to be back by the time we get to the Bengals game.
Right. Well,
that one
at
is
that
like
point, that would be good for
he's
Carson
an elite
Wentz.
Player, though, Lane Johnson. He's a huge deal. But no, it's worth it. Look, it's his receivers, too. Right. What are we going to act like Jalen Reagor and DeSean Jackson right now or some great 1-2 punch?
My expectation is next week against the Rams, probably going to go poorly. And so then you're looking at Carson Wentz, who just put up 16 fantasy points against Washington and had a bad game against the Rams, and you're just going to start him because it's the Bengals. And they kind of shut down Tyrod Taylor, and they face Baker Mayfield, so it's going to look like the Bengals' defense is good.
And Heath, who's after the Bengals?
after the Bengals is the 49ers.
And then?
The Steelers.
And then?
The Ravens.
Uh-oh, Carson Wentz is on the waiver wire, ladies and gentlemen.
This is like that time when I dropped him on the podcast.
Uh-oh.
Adam called me an idiot moron.
You know who's going to make Carson Wentz better? Miles Sanders. Please come back in week two, Miles Sanders.
He would help.
Believe it or not, Peyton Barber, currently rostered in 4% of leagues, should be rostered in at least 40% of leagues.
Nope, don't believe it.
Heath? You have to say something.
I don't believe it either.
Okay, moving on. Seattle, 38. Atlanta, 25.
Oh, by the way, Terry McLaurin's going to be fine.
Thank you, Dave. Seattle, 38. Atlanta, 25.
Thank you. I was actually worried about that, Dave, and so I feel a little bit better.
you were? No, you weren't.
No, I was. I was not. I'm not. I'm not even being a jerk this time, like I normally am. Believe it or not, Calvin Ridley's made better than Julio Jones this year. We had the Chris Godwin discussion before the season, and now he's got like a 10-point head start on him.
Look, if he keeps scoring touchdowns, eventually the dichotomy of how to defend the Falcons in the red zone will change. These were red zone touchdowns that he caught today. But teams are going to have to do something.
Well, he got 12 targets, the same number as Julio Jones.
Nine catches, same as Julio, too.
Better on a per game, a per target basis in terms of getting into the end zone, all those things, then Julio Jones. Like if this is a situation where they're just both getting 12 targets, Calvin Ridley's going to score more fantasy points.
If you're asking me if I'd rather have Ridley than Julio the rest of the year, the answer is still no.
Is Julio.
I'd rather have Julio.
Yeah, all right, fine. Believe it or not, DK Metcalf will be better than Tyler Lockett.
No. No.
No, I can. But I can
touchdown, though.
That touchdown was amazing. That was on a 4th-and-5 play, and he just stacked the DB, got right on top of him, touchdown. Great throw by Russ. I could see that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they're both within the realm. They're both fairly realistic.
But again, like if I have Tyler Lockett and you're offering me DK Metcalf straight up in a trade in fantasy, I don't think I'm saying yes, but I can see, you know, a week or two, it could absolutely be that way.
Okay. Green Bay 43, Minnesota 34.
What in the... Believe it or not, the Minnesota Vikings gave up 43 points today, and their quarterback threw 25 passes in the game.
18 minutes of possession.
Yeah.
19 minutes, basically.
How about the fact that they scored...
Believe it or not.
Believe it or not, Dave's internet just crapped out.
I was going to say, believe it or not, the Vikings defense is bad.
Yeah, we got to at least consider that possibility until Danielle Hunter comes back.
And even then, the secondary is in bad shape.
Dave, are you aware that we didn't hear you for the last 30 seconds?
Yeah, I am. Okay, I am.
Okay. I got another believe it or not.
Yeah.
Alexander Mattison had 4 catches today, and Dalvin Cook had -2 receiving yards.
Believe it.
That's factual.
He also had 50 yards rushing on 6 carries.
He's pretty good.
He is.
Mattison. So I actually think, Heath, it's interesting because, you know, they just ran the ball so much last season. But if you wonder what could go wrong for Dalvin Cook, I think it would be the split of the carries is similar, but they just carry the ball a lot less. But then again, I just don't see Mattison stealing touchdowns from him, and Cook scored twice today. I don't know. Yeah, do you really make anything of this, or is this one game?
I think most of Madison's catches came after Dalvin wasn't playing anymore. So I'm not making too much of it yet, but it's a problem that Dalvin Cook had 1 catch for -2 yards.
All right, real quick, guys. Believe it or not, Marquez Valdez-Scantling should be at least 30% rostered.
Believe it.
Believe it.
All right. Yeah, there might be something here. I mean, people talked him up. He had a good training camp. Aaron Rodgers talked up MVS. 4 for 96 and a touchdown on 6 targets. 5% rostered right now. So he's going to be a waiver wire guy for sure. Buffalo 27, Jets 17.
Believe it or not, Jamison Crowder is a top 20 wide receiver in PPR.
No.
Nope, don't believe it.
He had an easy matchup, Heath.
He was a top 20 wide receiver last year when he played with Sam Darnold.
Was he?
Yes.
Okay.
He was.
And he just started out this year on that type of pace. So.
You know what? If Le'Veon Bell misses time, that could only help Crowder, right?
Yeah, for sure.
What format was Sheamus and Crowder a top 20 receiver last year?
When Sam Darnold was healthy.
Oh, Hazer I stats. See. Yeah, Hazer yeah, stats. Yeah.
That's a great stat.
That's a perfectly acceptable Hazer stat.
Yeah,
I agree. It is.
Now, if you really
week one and then Darnold got mono. Yeah,
if you really
right,
wanted to Hazer stat it, you would take out week one because you would say, well, he had mono. You can't count week one. But week one was actually good for
it. It was really good Crowder, in week one, yeah. So we're definitely counting it.
All right. So, Heath, do you think he's top 20?
I do.
Okay. All right. Believe it or not, Josh Allen is an elite fantasy quarterback.
I'm not believing it yet. Startable fantasy quarterback, yes.
Boy, if you don't believe in him and he does well at Miami next week, then you could be throwing out some trade offers there. Baltimore 38 and Cleveland 6. Right. Believe it or not, Heath.
Believe it or not, Kareem Hunt is going to be the best running back on the Browns this season.
I don't know how anybody can believe that.
Yeah, I don't.
Just because he was the best running back in week one?
Here was what my reasoning would be. The Browns, I don't know. I don't remember. Like, so many things were said over the offseason. I don't remember who said this, but someone said, and we joked about it, we're going to give them each 15 carries a game. That's our goal. You guys remember that, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I remember talking about how they could split carries and catches too.
Right. This game, Kareem Hunt had three more carries than Chubb, but let's just stick with the same even number of carries per game. He was still much more productive in the passing game than Chubb, and he's a better receiver than Chubb is. So if they're even on carries, then Kareem Hunt is going to be the better fantasy running back because he's going to catch more passes.
Maybe, but we also...
If that keeps up.
Yeah, like Nathan Zegura also said that didn't he basically say like that Hunt's not guaranteed to catch more passes, that their roles could be interchangeable in the passing game too? Well, I just think, Heath, also the touchdowns, right? Who's going to get the goal line work?
Well, I think they both had one and got stuffed today, so that's TBD.
And Chubb fumbled today too.
So did Hunt.
They both fumbled. Chubb lost his.
Yeah.
So his was more bad.
Yeah, Hunt recovered his, so he's better at that. all right. It's interesting. You know, it's right now I'm glad I didn't draft any Kareem Hunt, any Nick Chubb. And quite frankly, Heath, like, how good can Kareem Hunt be if
he can
Chubb
be worth
healthy?
A fifth round pick splitting with Nick Chubb?
Yeah.
For sure.
And more importantly, Chubb probably won't be worth a second round pick splitting with Kareem Hunt.
Almost certainly.
Buy or sell. Now's the time to sell. Or believe it or not, pardon me. Totally different game. Believe it or not, Marquise Brown. Now's the time to sell Marquise Brown. 5 catches, 101 yards, but only 6 targets against Cleveland.
No chance. Hang on to him.
Maybe.
Unless you get a whopper of a deal. Okay. Someone offers you Odell Beckham for Marquise Brown. Are you taking that?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
I think so too.
Are you, Dave?
I don't think so.
You know who looked pretty good today, I thought? I don't know when we'll get to this game. We're already at an hour and 2 minutes.
Never.
AJ Green. He had 2 touchdowns. He had 2 almost touchdowns. One call back on a penalty. It was kind of weak, I thought.
I missed this so much.
And Burrow missed him wide open. But Burrow threw almost exclusively to AJ Green. I thought it was for having missed that much time, a year and a half, I was encouraged by AJ Green.
Yeah, me too.
Stay on the field, Adriel.
Not so much by Joe Burrow, though. Chicago 27, Detroit 23. Go.
Believe it or not, TJ Hockenson's going to be a top 12 tight end the rest of the year.
I don't believe it yet.
That could just go either way. Yeah, why
could
not?
It? How many games is Galladay going to miss?
I think there's an opportunity for him to be... Because, look, Danny Amendola had a huge game, too. So maybe Amendola's the one who benefited from Galladay.
Yeah, Amendola had a big catch late.
Quintez Cephas had 10 targets in this game. Like, there's plenty of room for Kenny Galladay.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm gonna say no, because you know who's gonna be better? Jared Cook. How good was Jared Cook today? He's a good
better
player.
Better than Hayden Hurst, that's for damn sure.
Believe it or not.
Jordan Thomas. Logan Thomas was better than Hayden Hurst today. We didn't even talk about him.
We got a waiver wire show. For 6 yards.
Who? Logan Thomas?
Did he catch another one?
Yeah. He led the Washington football team in targets today.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he had at least 3 catches.
He had 8 targets, 4 catches, 37 yards, and a touchdown. And listen, I'm not saying that he's going to be great, but
that is, okay.
It was a good one. All right.
Also more targets than TJ Hockenson. Just saying.
Believe it or not, David Montgomery is good.
I believe it.
I believe he's a good NFL running back, not a good fantasy starter.
Okay. Chargers 16, Bengals 13.
This is gonna get me in trouble right here. I kind of believe it though, even though I shouldn't. Believe it or not, Mike Williams is going to be the best wide receiver on the Chargers this year.
You know what? I started when I was watching that game. I thought that Tyrod made much better throws to him.
Oh, so like he can lob that ball down the sideline and let Mike Williams go get it. Yeah. You give him a timing route on a cross, no chance.
Yeah. And that hurts Keenan Allen. Yeah. And he's getting hit in the shoulder after he was dealing with a shoulder injury. What's his roster ship percentage?
He is 100% rostered. Keenan Allen was started in 95% of leagues.
No.
Mike Williams. 38% rostered.
Go at him.
Yeah, I'm encouraged by what I saw.
I'm not sure there's a top 60 player. Keenan Allen was borderline top 60 that I'd be more nervous about right now than Keenan Allen, who did get injured today. Like a top 60 player didn't get injured, right? Like, God, you cannot be feeling too good if you have Keenan Allen.
No. That was a bad time.
But how do you feel about having Austin Eckler? Can't feel good about that
either.
Yes,
you can. He had 19 carries.
Compared to Allen, yeah, but I don't feel great about, like, what if I had the choice between Eckler and Davante Adams after what went down today, or Eckler and Josh Jacobs? Oof. Rough.
I think I feel worse about Tyler Boyd than I do Keenan Allen.
Okay, fair enough. Well, that's also
I don't feel great about either of them.
Okay. All right, and let's go to our next one. Saints, Bucks, New Orleans 34, Tampa Bay 23.
Well, Dave kind of stole mine, but I'm going to go with it anyway. Believe it or not, Tom Brady and Drew Brees aren't as good as they used to be. Like,
Kind of stole yours? Like, I had that at the beginning.
Okay, so I stole yours.
Yeah. Everybody who watched the game had it and stole it from you, Heath.
Yeah.
I buy it. But I at least in the case, it's really in the case of both of them, they're surrounded by so much good talent that their shortcomings as a passer can be recouped. So they're going to have good fantasy games. Both these guys had 2 touchdowns today. There's going to be some 300-yard games ahead.
Believe it or not, Rob Gronkowski should be dropped for O.J. Howard.
Believe it.
I don't believe that, but I could see Gronk getting dropped for a number of other players.
I thought Howard looked pretty good today and had a lot more attention from Brady.
Yeah, Shraggy B, you got the snap counts there? We got one more game. I want to see the snap counts if we have those. One more game, Arizona 24, San Francisco 20. Go ahead, Heath.
Believe it or not, Ezekiel Elliott caught Dak Prescott's first touchdown pass this season.
I believe it.
He's just like, ugh.
My favorite part about it is hearing
the whole
Heath,
first
like,
quarter you're just ruining
do
for
that
me.
Under his breath laugh.
Like you don't understand the joy I get because Sunday is so.
You don't understand the joy I get.
I do. I hear it. But like Sunday is so hectic. I'm watching Red Zone. I'm taking notes. There's so much football on, and I feel like I barely get to actually watch football. That's why I love Thursday night and Sunday night and Monday night. And I DVR the game, and my kids are asleep, and I do the dishes because the house is a freaking mess, and I just watch football, and I love it. And you steal that from me, Heath. The one thing I have in my life right now.
Well, at least you still have the dishes, Adam.
I feel kind of bad now. Believe it or not, I feel kind of bad now.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe it.
Believe it or not, Chase Edmonds is kind of a problem for Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
16 9 carries touches for Drake. Rushing. A little bit of a problem.
Like, I think in the passing game more than like he's going to take 5 or 6 carries. That's fine. But if he's out targeting Drake, I think Drake's in trouble at first round ADP.
Literally the second time in the Cardinals' last 17 games where the secondary running back had more than 7 touches.
Yeah. Believe
I think
it
next
or
week
not.
We'll find out if it's a trend next week.
By the way, the fact that George Kittle didn't have a big game against the Cardinals is amazing. Believe it or not.
He got banged up.
Believe it or not, the Cardinals are no longer the free space against tight ends.
Maybe. Believe it or
apparently
not,
that's the Browns.
49ers are missing the playoffs.
Yeah, I believe it.
Believe it.
Man, we might be overreacting a little bit, but I actually picked them to miss the playoffs. So
yeah, me too.
Okay, good. Good stuff.
I think I did.
I think I did too. I definitely did before you told me there was an extra playoff spot, which I had forgotten about. Then I'm not so sure. Well, I hope everybody did not go 0-10 this week. I know I didn't. 1-10, at least. I add more leagues, so I know I'm going to win some. Thanks so much to Heath and Ben and Dave. Did Ben get me the snap counts?
No, hey, but I had no idea what player you wanted.
Oh, it was, I don't even remember now. Who was
exactly.
It was Heath.
No, Heath. What was your favorite part about CeeDee Lamb's first catch in the NFL for 30 years?
Goodbye, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. I'm going to do the dishes. See ya.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.